Transformers. Robots in disguise.
Man, we used to just, I mean, this was the earworm of all cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
There's no way you can get that out of your head. Remy Adelecki is a Navy SEAL. He's an actor. He was in Transformers The Last Knight. He's an entrepreneur. He's the author of Transformed, a Navy SEAL's unlikely journey from the throne of Africa to the streets of the Bronx. I don't know why I'm talking like this. To defying all odds. He's back on the show. He came on the show, a year ago, I think, because Kathy Lee said, you have to have this guy on the show. And I'm more scared of Kathy Lee Gifford than I am of a Navy SEAL. That's how that works.
Speaks volumes.
Remy, dude, great to have you back again, man. What's going on? Where are you right now? Where are you?
I'm in SoCal right now. Thanks for having me on, and I love the intro.
Well, you're going to get that. I mean, we tried to come up with something ingenious, and all we came up with was, hey, let's play the Transformers theme, you know. Yeah. Okay, are you, like, I know a few guys that are in the TAC unit up here, different police departments. They're on the SWAT team. And those guys, they play off like they're so tough, right? But then when you get to know them, they're just like weepy little mushbags. Are you a weepy little mushbag, Remy?
I might be. I might be. You just never know. I might just be all a show. I am an actor.
Him being a mushbag will be the last thing you'll ever see, though. That's true.
Yeah. That's true. You've seen the mushbag. You must die. Okay, what's been going on since you've released this book, man? I mean, you know, you've done a bit of Wait, hold on. Is it out yet? It is out, right?
Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can pre-order it now.
Yeah.
And some Barnes & Nobles around the country here in the States, they're selling them already. But, I mean, officially Tuesday is the release.
Okay, how are you feeling? Like, you're now a published author. You're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, it's a bit nerve-wracking, one, because, you know, your story is actually now going to be shared with the world, and it's all on paper, so you can't take back anything that's been written. But two, it's exciting, because, you know, I wrote the book to inspire people. You know, as a matter of fact, it was Kathy Lee Gifford that made me write the book, just like she made you bring me on the show. You know, after I went on the Today Show, she pulled me aside, and she said, Remy, your story's too inspiring for you not to write a book. And I told her no, and she said, why not? And I said, well, I don't want to be, you know, put in a bad light with the guys from my community. And she said, no, you need to do it. I know your heart will be in the right place. So she walked me to the publisher, and that's how I got my book deal.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how it inspires people and motivates people and inspires change in people. So, yeah.
You've got a lot of interesting things in your sort of byline here. But the thing that kind of makes my brain go to one side is, from the throne of Africa. Why does that remind me of the Eddie Murphy movie, Trading Places? Yeah, I think that's what it was, you know?
Or, because Coming to America.
Coming to America, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Well, you know, my mom is American. My dad, he was Nigerian. As a matter of fact, he was the firstborn son to my grandfather. My grandfather had like 8-9 wives. And my grandfather was a chief in the Yoruba tribe, which is my tribe, and that's a very prominent tribe. And in European culture and Western culture, we refer to royalty as king, queen, prince, duchess, that sort of thing. But in West African culture and a lot of other African cultures, we refer to royalty as chief or as your last name. And so my last name, Ade means crown, Leke means is above. And so that was my grandfather. So when my grandfather died, my father, being the firstborn son, took over, and he was now the chief within the Yoruba tribe. So that's why we kind of go back to the throne of Africa, because running through my veins is the blood of royalty, Nigerian Yoruba royalty.
So wait, if you go back, have you been back? I don't know. Have you gone? Do you go back every year? What do you do?
Well, you know, interestingly, the last time I went back was March of last year, and I went there to really just kind of soak myself in the culture so I could write the book properly and end the book properly, because I wanted to end the book there.
Yeah.
And that was my first time back in 30 years, you know, since the Nigerian government stripped our family of absolutely everything we reached for.
So did they greet you with a big celebration and the royal, you know, the flowers and, I don't know, whatever? Or was it just, hey, what's up? What's up, Remy?
You know, no, not necessarily. When the Nigerians hear my name, more so in the States now, you know, who know the meaning, I kind of get that, oh, Adelaide. But over there, Look, I'm being an American, that alone makes you royalty, right? So you come over and they're like, you're American. You're a black American. Cool. So you kind of get more of the fanfare for being an American than you do for being an Adelaide.
Yeah. But you came over here, you know, your dad, after your dad died, which, by the way, man, how old were you when your dad died?
I was 5.
See, that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so your family relocates to the... Sorry, say again?
I can't imagine that 3 sons now, you know, I can't imagine dying now, you know, especially with my kids. You know, my oldest is 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like a crazy thing now. My oldest is the age I was when my father died, you know, so it's a crazy full circle time.
Okay, so your dad dying, what role did that play in you turning into a bit of a rat bag?
That played a huge role in me. I don't know what a rat bag is, but rat bag. I guess I'll take it. Maybe dirt bag, but yeah. You know, it did, you know, because I didn't have a positive male role model to teach me what it was to be a man. You know, I didn't. You know, I was trying to learn how to be a man from the streets, from street culture, from hip-hop, rap music. Those were the things that I utilized to paint a blueprint for my life. And so, you know, when I would listen to guys who would talk about, you know, stealing, I would steal. Talking about sleeping around all these girls and being a player, I would do that. And when they talked about selling drugs, that's what I wanted to do. And so, you know, not having a father to, you know, get in my face and say, no, that's not a man. This is a man, and this is how you're supposed to act. That affected me in such a bad and negative way. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to get the trajectory here. So you come, you know, dad dies. You come over to the Bronx. You get hooked up with the wrong crowd or whatever. You start making dopey choices.
Yeah.
And then you become a Navy SEAL. Now to go from a punk to a SEAL.
Yeah.
You want to just explain that one, please? Just what the heck happened there?
Yeah, that should have happened. Well, it kind of started out with me and then I was making. I got involved in a deal with a drug dealer with that. I sold him some products that were supposed to last for a certain amount of time, and only lasted for a fraction of that time, and he came knocking on my door and threatened my life. And I knew his reputation. I knew that if I didn't do what he wanted me to do and the time he wanted me to do it, then he was going to kill me. And so the next day I went and I made him back all of his money. And then for 6 months I sat in my apartment in my bedroom and I did absolutely nothing. And then, you know, finally in June of 2002, I just came to the realization, what else do you have, Randy? What are you going to do with your life? How about you join the military? And there's more to the story, but long story short, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to go join the Navy. And I went to go join the Navy. The recruiter ran my background, found out I had 2 warrants out for my arrest. I had a warrant in New Jersey and I had a warrant in New York. And she took me to both judges, and both judges expunged my record, and then she fudged all of my paperwork to sneak me into the Navy. That's how I got to the Navy. Now, when I got to boot camp, a Navy SEAL came and put on a presentation, showed us videos of Navy SEALs playing scuba diving, shooting guns, driving through buggies, and I'm this kid from the hood in the Bronx. I'm like, wow, you get paid to do all that? Yeah, I want to do that. And next thing you know, even though I wasn't qualified, I decided that's what I was going to do. When I got to my first command, I was skinny as a whip, couldn't swim, didn't have the academic scores, but I just started training every single day. And after a year of checking into my first command, which was Naval Hospital Camp Pendleton, I was checking out and going to SEAL training to be a frog pitch.
Okay, but how? Why did you, the perseverance it takes to go from punk to SEAL, was it, like, are you going to sit there and go, oh, it's because of Jesus, he made everything possible, or is it because of my mom made it everything possible? Like, what was the thing that kept you going?
Well, it was, for me, it was, I didn't have a background of faith at that time at all. So, at that time, it was, I'm going to say it was 3 things. One, my mom, when we were kids, she would always preach excellence. You know, whatever you do, do it right. And when I joined the Navy and I realized that being a Navy SEAL is the elite of the elite, it's the best. It's, I mean, you can't get any higher than that in the military. I was just like, that's what I need to be. Like, I want to be part of the most excellent unit on the face of this planet. So that was one reason that kept driving me towards, you know, attaining this goal. The second thing was, growing up in the Bronx, man, we didn't have the term bully back then, you just got beat up. You just got jumped. You just got robbed. I mean, it was just like, oh, I just got jumped and beat up. It's not like I got bullied. You know, it wasn't one of those things. But I, so just for the sake of, you know, explaining it to this generation, I got bullied.
Yeah.
I got beat up. I seen other people get beat up and get jumped, and I hated it. I hated to see stronger people beat on weaker people because I was the victim many, many times. And so I wanted to be that guy that would bully the bullies. I wanted to be that guy that would knock on the door of a bad guy, a terrorist, whatever you want to call him, and say, hey, I heard what you were about to do or what you've been doing, and I'm here to deal with you. So that was the second thing. The third thing was, you know, I had failed so much at life, you know, from being a bad son to, you know, selling drugs and failing at that, and trying to start a record company and failing at that and not doing well in school, that I finally kind of got to the point in my life where I was done with failing. And so when I decided I was going to be a CEO, I was like, I will not fail at this. I will die before I fail at this. I was committed. So those were the three things that kind of drove me from a perseverance and resilience standpoint.
This is such a great story. I just want to dial this back again and let everyone know we're chatting with Remy Adeleke. Did I say it even right? Is that Adeleke?
Adeleke.
I taught an Adeleke.
By the way, with my mom, I shared a story in the book where my mom goes to the school because this teacher makes fun of my brother and our last name in class in front of the entire class. Just humiliated my brother. So my mom goes to the school the next day. She teaches in front of everybody. She teaches this teacher how to say our last name. So after everybody reads that part of the book, they'll know how to say it.
Good for her, man. Good for her. Navy SEAL, actor, Transformers the Last Night, entrepreneur, author of Transformed. You know what? I want to do something fun. Do you think your mom's home?
I think she might be all around.
Right. Let's give her a call. All right. Now you be quiet. No, hold on. Does she know that I'm calling or no?
She knows that someone's calling. She doesn't know that I'm on the line though.
Okay. All right. So I'm
gonna. I already did an interview before, but I just told her. I said, hey, Ma, somebody's gonna call you to interview you.
Okay.
I already interviewed with them. So.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Oh, it's busy. Tell your mom to get off the phone.
Yeah, call back. But just hang up and call back.
Why your mom got to be on the phone right now? Come on.
Telephone. It's in the BB.
Left side. This is funny. You still there, Remy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Remy, we're going to get your mom on the phone, and I'm trying to figure out what angle I want to take here. I'm gonna call.
Start pronouncing the name wrong. That seems
good. Yeah, no, I don't want to get spanked here on the phone. Okay, we're going to. It's still busy? Okay. All right, well.
I just texted somebody texted me earlier from your studio, so I just texted them my mom's number again, just in case they have the wrong one.
Okay, just make sure it's the right one, all right?
And you got to put, you're calling from Canada, so I think you got to put a plus one or something like that, right?
Yeah, no, hey, come on, really? Are you trying to school us how to call the United States? You know that we all want to be just like, all right, who is the person that you worked with on Transformers the last night? That you name drop when you want to impress somebody?
Mark Wahlberg, come on now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mark.
Or Michael Bay, because he's Michael Bay's director. So
yeah,
that's a good one.
I tend to use that name.
I guess that does work.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here, it's ringing now. Here we go. What's her name? Mrs. Adelaide.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Is this Mrs. Adeleke?
Yes, it is.
Yes, this is Drew Marshall calling from Canada. How are you?
Oh, hold on one second.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm doing very well. Thank you, Drew.
I understand your son is doing some media these days. Is that right?
Yes, he is.
Well, we just have a couple of questions for you. Do you have a second?
Sure.
Okay. We have some pictures of your son doing some inappropriate things, and we just want to make sure, do you think he is the kind of boy that would have done some things that might be a little inappropriate, or is he a fairly good fella?
What kind of inappropriate things?
Well, I can't even continue. I was trying to be funny and I failed miserably. Do you realize your son is on the line with us right now? I'm Drew Marshall. We're calling from the Drew Marshall Show. Remy, you better say something before she hangs up on me.
do. I like your sense of humor. I'm not going to give you a spanking, but I like your sense of humor.
Remy, your mom scares me, man. I have never choked doing that on air, never. But there's something in your mom's voice where I went, okay, I'm not going to be able to pull anything over this woman's eyes. I know it. Okay, so what is it like, Mrs. Adelaide? First of all, I heard the story about you going to the school and giving your teacher a lesson on how to say your last name. Can you give me that lesson, please?
Well, yes. My son came home, and he was very, very quiet. My oldest son, Bio, he was very, very quiet. And I asked him, I said, well, Bio, what is going on? Why are you so quiet? And he told me that the teacher mispronounced his name and that the children started making fun of him.
Mm-mm.
And that the teacher, she just dismissed our last name. Well, Ade, whatever. And when my son told me that, steam started coming out of my ears, but I was very, very careful, very, very cool. So I told my son, I said, well, look, I said, we're going to go to school tomorrow, and we're going to just, mommy is just going to handle this situation.
Well, hold on a second. Tell me how to pronounce your last name properly, because your son tried. And he wasn't that good at it. I want to know how you... teach me how to say it properly, Mom.
It's like a song. Adeleke.
Adeleke.
Si, yes.
Okay. Adeleke.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Adeleke.
Yes.
I want to know what your son is doing tomorrow for Mother's Day. And how has he been as a son on Mother's Day? Has he sent you gifts? Has he sent you cards? Has he sent you teddy bears, candy, money? I mean, money would be nice, wouldn't it, Mother?
You know, my son has been, and I'm not just saying this because he's on the line and because he's my baby boy, but he has been such a good, good son, such a good, good child. And I just can't say that enough. And I'm just so very, very proud of him. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but hold on. Let's not put candy all over this. He was a bit of a jerk growing up, was he not?
Oh, okay. Now, I can't put candy on that one. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
I can't put candy on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, he was. But God answers prayers. God answers prayers. And I just kept my baby boy in prayer. You know, from the minute he popped out of my belly.
What is it that you want the world to know about your son? Like when you brag about your son, is it the Transformers thing? Is it the Navy SEAL thing? Is it the book Transformed? Or is it his underwear ads?
What I want the world to know about my son is that he is a man of God, and that he is a good man. He's a humble man. And, I hate to put candy and sugar all over the conversation, but I'm speaking to you from my heart.
Yeah.
You know, he is a really good, God-fearing, God-loving, good son, good husband, good father kind of man.
Oh,
and, you
goodness.
Know, I just want to speak to single parents out here.
Yes. How did you know that was my next question? Let me ask it first. Hold on a second, Mother.
Okay.
What do you have to say to the single moms who are feeling like life, the entire life for them is an uphill battle, and they're at their wit's end, like they're just done? What do you say to these women?
I want to tell the single mothers and the single fathers to just continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I don't know what kind of interview this is, and I hope I'm not offending you by saying this, but I want single mothers and single fathers to keep the faith, and no matter how muddy and how cloudy or how crazy your child acts when your child steps into adolescence, just continue to pray over your baby boy, your baby girl, and just hold on to that faith. And Remy is an example of what will happen when you do just that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we should give it up for Remy's mom.
Yeah.
Remy's mom on the Drew Marshall Show.
Mama.
Mrs. Adeleke.
Mama.
Man. You just got a standing ovation. I'm kidding. We didn't stand.
Oh.
We did not stand.
But it is the honest to God truth. I'm talking to you from my heart. I really am. You know, because you can do all that you can do, and then you just have to just stop and just sit back and let God do the thing, you know?
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at how badly I choked. I started off with the, we have some inappropriate pictures of your son, and you went, what kind of inappropriate pictures?
The temperature dropped in the studio.
Oh, man, scared me. Mother, happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy blessed day to you too, my darling.
Do you want to say anything sweet and embarrassing to your boy?
Remy, I love you to pieces. I love you to pieces, Remy.
Love you too,
you
Ma.
Right?
Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, no.
Thank you, my darling.
Did you have a nickname for him, a little pet name or anything?
Oh, yeah.
No, just Remy.
Oh,
boring.
That was boring. Come on. I was thinking maybe Huggy Bear, you know?
Oh.
Thank you, Mother. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. We'll
Sorry,
we're talking over each other with the phones here. Just wait, one last thing before you go, because you live, where are you? Are you in the Bronx? No, where are you at?
I'm in the Bronx, New York.
Okay, can you just do me one favor before you say goodbye?
Certainly.
What is that brown, warm drink that people drink in the morning with a bagel?
You know it's coffee.
Yeah!
Love it. Love it. Got to have a little coffee. You're the best. Bye, Mom.
Have a good one now. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye. Remy, I want to have your mom as a special guest once a month. That's ridiculous.
There you go, man. There you go. We got to get her on.
Oh, I just had to have her say coffee.
Yeah.
I interview a lot of people about a lot of books and their inspiration, blah, 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 but this is the dude inspirational book. There is this is going to sound sexist. Don't, just lighten up. There's a lot of chick books out there that are all about inspiration, and they've got flowers and rainbows and unicorns in them. This is the inspirational dude book. So if you got
knives and bombs and guns in it.
If you got a guy in your life and they need a little bit of giddy up, this is the book.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. And it's raw. It's raw. I wrote it. No ghostwriters. I don't use ghostwriters. My mom, you know, she didn't touch on it in the call, but when we were kids, she would punish us by making us read the New York Times and write reports on it. So, you know, I had to set the foundation of a writer since I was about 6-7 years old.
Love
so
it.
I wrote the entire book myself, and I kept it raw. It's raw. It's authentic. It's real. It's not cheesy.
Good
but
for
it
you.
Will inspire.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Listen, you ever come to Toronto, dinner's on me, okay, man?
I'm going to hold you to that.
All right. Oh, crap. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Way to go, dude.
kind of said it publicly. Remy Adeleke, Navy SEAL, actor, Transformers The Last Knight, entrepreneur, author of Transformed, Navy SEAL's unlikely journey from the throne of Africa to the streets of the Bronx to defying all odds. That book drops next week. Get it. Are sold.
Yep, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Kindle. You can pre-order all right now to access exclusive video story content.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thanks, dude. So good to talk to you again.
Thank you. So good to talk to you, too. Thanks for having me on, Drew.
Thanks, Remy. Man. All right. See you, dude. Bye-bye. I like that guy. He's a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy.